Hundreds of human rights organisations across the spectrum have increasingly been engaged in the process to establish a new development framework to follow on the Millennium Development Goals, the post-2015 process. One of these is the Help Age Global Network, which is particularly concerned with the inclusion of older people within this framework as the world ages at an unprecedented rate. HelpAge's Chief Executive Officer Silvia Stefanoni recently attended the release in New York of a UN high-level panel report outlining its vision for post-2015 development. Speaking to me, she says the framework has been carefully drawn up and has many positive aspects as well as a series of deficiencies. But she points out it's a starting point upon which to build.
The high-level group report to the Secretary General for the post-15 covers a wide range of issues, and there are a number of welcome aspects of the report, particularly the focus on tackling vulnerability, tackling inequality, improving that aspect of the current MDG, which were a bit blind to specific vulnerability and inequality issues. The way in which the report proposes to tackle those is by ensuring that the different vulnerable groups are identified, data is gathered around the impact of any of their goals on those groups. So that includes also age. So age is going to be an indicator that people and governments and society more in general will need to be measured against. So to be more practical, if there is a goal on access to water, we will have to be clear about how access to water is for women, men, young people, children and older people. That is a very welcome aspect of the report, because we do believe that the lack of understanding and data related to this vulnerable group has made them so far invisible and not reached by various programs. So that's the welcome aspect, but we were, from a perspective of what's happening with population dynamic looking ahead, what's happening with the number of older people that we will have in all our society, and the response to that, the report is quite silent. I put this question to the panel myself in New York, asking whether everyone we learn from the youth bulge, even we learned from the fact that 25 years ago, demographers already were saying there is a huge number of young people in societies, and do we have a response to how do we ensure that we reach them and we include them and we give them opportunities and hope? Now, are we going to do the same with older people? The report is silent on a true response to that. And the response from the panel was that actually aging was considered, is in the annex of the report. Demographic shift is acknowledged, but a lot more work needs to be done now to ensure that the framework will actually address the issues of older people.
Will your considerations be taken into account? I mean, can amendments be made to this framework?
The report per se will not be amended, but the report is only the beginning, is literally the beginning of a conversation on what the post-2015 Sustainable Development Goals, as they are likely to be called, will be, because there is a UN working group that is reporting on a variety of issues that will have to be included into the new framework. And then there is all the negotiations that governments will have to do in developing the new framework. So there is plenty of opportunities, particularly working with individual governments, which now will have quite an important role to play in looking at how the report shapes up and how the framework, better say, for the new goals will shape. There are good aspects in this kind of first report also in relation to the fact that we want to continue with that approach to goals, because that has galvanized energies, has given opportunities for everybody to be clear what we're trying to achieve. So that's a positive thing. But the content, and we obviously from a perspective of recognizing the importance of an aging population, we would like to see much stronger indicators. For example, can we have under health and indicators of the improvement of life free of disability at 60? That would be a good indicator of healthy living in old age. And others can be developed and incorporated in the framework. So there are plenty of opportunities, and there is another big process which is very important, which is the review of the Population Conference of Cairo 20 years ago that will culminate in the UN with a special session in 2014. At the moment, of course, the agenda is dominated by reproductive health issues, the youth bulge, migration, but we are working with UNFPA, the Population Funds, and many other stakeholders to ensure that aging will feature very clearly. And this will be another opportunity to feed into the next framework.
What is the next step from now? What is the next appointment, the next occasion you have to bring your agenda to the table of leaders?
In June, I think around the 14th, there is the open working group on the post-MDG, and the topic will be population dynamic and health. And we are already feeding into that process. So after that, we are working with all the regional conferences that will feed into the special session on the review of the Cairo Population Conference outcomes. There is a meeting in plan in Asia, one in Latin America, one in Africa, and we are and in Europe, and we are already participating as LPH International with our networks in all those meetings.
You sound quite hopeful, Sylvia.
I never lose hope to put aging on the agenda. I think that there is a good possibility the door has started to open with this age marker, if you like. And so I think something will definitely integrate it, whether it's the full aspects of how you respond to an aging population that perhaps could be stronger, probably in regions maybe we won't have it yet globally clearly articulated. The challenge is, how do we get governments, particularly across the world, to understand aging rather than having a very superficial response that we have up to now that says, you know, this is not an issue for us today. Today we need to worry about the youth, the children, we will worry about the older people when it comes. That's not, we have to make sure we are raise a sufficient awareness and sufficient evidence for government to realize that they cannot wait 25 years.
Surely the fact that each and every one of us almost is having to deal more and more with the issues that aging parents, aging families are putting on our agendas will make a difference to how leaders decide as well.
Yeah, that's true. And I think we need to tell that story, but we also need to tell the absolutely wasted resources that will become if older people or people in old age are not supported to continue to contribute to society. That is the most essential, and that is a social, but it is also economic issues. Government and economies that are not responding to the issues of aging will suffer, not only socially, but also economically. So I think the two issues, the issues of how do you support older people as they age, how do you respond to their care needs, which are absolutely cannot be left to individual families. They need to have a bigger response. But also, how do we make sure that older people continue to have choice as you and I go into old age, have a choice to how much to participate in the economy, how much to participate in the political life, and are not relegated and marginalized.